Okay, so I've we're going to go into Phineas Wake now, but I decided to change the format. Open the gates and let everyone participate, because if I just sit there and read it, I could get it done in 15 minutes. But we should have people interpreting what they think is being said. So it's like a group reading. And you should have your notes. There are different places online that give footnotes to each page. So you want to have some notes to get an idea of what's being said. But we're not limited to that. You might find your own ideas as you do it. So I'll open it up and I'll let everybody involved. So be careful when you're going to say something that you're not talking over people.
Yeah.
So what do you think of that, Bert?
That's good. I don't have any notes, but I have the book. I have the book for Finnegan's Wake, but I don't have any notes, so I'll have to rely on my own interpretation.
Well, someone can find, there are online places that give notes to pages, but maybe we won't be able to get that done tonight, but in the future, we'll find out from Ian what the next page is and see if we can find some notes to it, because it's boring if I just say it. Because I'm not going to spend much time with interpreting it, because I don't give a fuck about the book. But the if we allow people who start to try to get into it a bit, we got to let them talk and think about it. So it's better than me just narrating it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ion, what page? We did 44, 83, I think. No, 68 and then 83. Was it 83? Was it 85? Was it 82?
83 through 84.
83, 84. Okay,
yeah.
And was it 68?
I'm looking, flipping through one moment.
Yeah.
Yes. It was 67, 68, and part of 69.
Right. Okay, so I'll write that in here. 67, 68, 69. 44 went to 47, I think. Right?
Mm.
So the 44 went to, and then several pages.
43, part of, part section of 43, 44, 45, 46, yeah, 47, to 47, yes. 43
well,
to 47. Yeah, the songs.
The song starts in 44. 44, 45, 46, 47.
Yes. Well, they started reading on portion of 43.
Oh, okay. 46, 47. So, Ian, what's the next page after 83? Try not to take a break while we're doing this, Ian. Try to participate
well,
a little bit.
Well, you're going to go on for another couple of hours. So we just started. We're just going to let you get it out of your system.
Yeah, no, it's going to get other people get out of their system, too. So would that
oh,
be 80,
God, okay.
Was that 83, 84, 85, Bert?
It's actually 82, lower part of 82, 83, and 80 part of good, like 75% of 84, Bob.
Okay, let's see, what's the next page, Ion?
179.
Okay, 179. See, this is what I like about this. We rewrite the book in the order of these pages that Ion's giving.
Mm.
So, would you start a little bit in 78, 178, or in 179 with about line 8? It's where the new paragraph. Is that where you're starting
line
on?
Line 8. Line
yeah.
8.
And then you would go how far into 180?
To the end of that second sentence, because it finishes the thought.
Second sentence. Wherever the period is, the exclamation
the
mark
second.
It looks like. Yeah, 180.
Okay, well then the second punction is good.
Now I'll ask Roxy, do you want to be part of this? If she does, I can call her and bring her in. she might have all kinds of hallucinations, cultural hallucinations.
You know, get her all loved up. That'd be good.
Get her all loved up, yes. Roxy, can you just say, if you're still listening, if you want to be part of this, just type on the chat line. Okay, meanwhile, we'll unmute everybody.
All participants are now unmuted.
It's not going to be too daunting.
We'll try it.
Right. And now remember, maybe someone, Roy or somebody's going to post I got to mute Greg. Greg seems to cause echoes. Now, there's another person, what's that? So, if you're going to be making noises, mute yourself. But unmute if you want to speak. Let's see, what else? So we're looking for some...
on the chat.
Right away, this is, who's speaking? Oh yeah, Nancy.
Yeah,
actually you just need to find the page number. The notes for the page.
Right. It's easy to find the page. It's just a sliding scale on the bottom.
Yeah, I see that.
So you could slide it back and forth.
Where are the notes? I don't see anything showing up.
This one doesn't have notes. It's just plain Finnegan's Wake. Some of the pages have notes on, but some are hard to read. Like the next page, 181, you can see some pencil marks, but it doesn't say anything, really.
I just see a little purple book. It's too small. I don't see any notes.
On the far right hand, well, there's a plus sign. If you click the plus sign, you can zoom and make it bigger. Depends on what you're looking at.
Yeah, that's right. I see the plus sign. Okay, but where are notes? How do you see any notes at all?
There are some pencil notes in it, but it doesn't really explain much. This particular one doesn't have a lot of notes. No, it doesn't have notes. It's just a plain book for people to read if they don't have one.
Yeah, for looking at the page. Okay, I'm clicking that one off. Scott has posted something. Okay, that looks pretty good. What is this? Full text. I don't see any notes, though. So that's the full text. It's a good, simple one. So look at Scott's. But we've got to find one that has notes.
That one's harder to read.
What, Scott's?
Yeah, for me. I think I like the book form better for me. Just
okay, you can have that
computer.
For looking at, but you want to find notes. If you punch in search Finnegan's Wake, maybe you'll see some that says concordance. There are different people offering it. Notes, so... maybe even put in Roland McHugh. Let's see what that brings up. Roland McHugh is the book I'm using. Oh. It says annotations.
Strong is a good concordance.
Just the word strong?
Strong for the mess.
He's in STRONG.
Yes, with an S.
Request PDF. That requires, you got to register stuff. That doesn't work. I don't know what you mean by strong. STRONG, put that in beside Finnegan's Wake. Ion?
Strong's is a concordance to the Bible. It's a huge concordance. He's pulling your leg.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you're going to make me pay attention to this bullshit. You're going to work for it.
Yeah. Pentian says Scott says he has made a PDF, but he needs, he doesn't know how to put it online. How do you do that, Scott? Or does anybody know how you put something online?
I did have it on, what's that, Dropbox, but I don't, it's not there now, so I'll have to put it on there.
Okay.
Give me about 5 minutes or so.
Okay.
Bob, you do this every single week and you act like it's your very first time. What do you need notes for? Damn, you're the end all be all know all regarding this bullshit. Why don't you just know it and let go?
I don't know it. There's nothing to know. What the hell? A bunch of fucking ridiculous words. You can look up different critics who take 10-page chunks and claim, oh, this is happening. But again, it's like quantum particles. You go along and read a whole sentence looking for, what would that be, the positioning of the electron. But then if you start looking at each word, there's all kinds of meanings, so that would be the speed. What are the two things that you try to get in the particle? Position and velocity? Anybody know? You have two contradictory movements on a sentence.
Bob, Roy just posted something that has notes.
Okay.
You click over the, went the mouse over the word, and it gives you some notes on the different particular words.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right, so if we go to page, it's got every page of Finney's Wake here?
Well, he just posted
we're doing.
Yeah, 179. Yeah, he has it right up there in that link.
Okay, so the red, what is red is
the
what they're showing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a beginning. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The bulldog, but all right. Yeah, no, that's good. That's maybe good enough. Very good, Roy. We can start with that. Did I say to start on the previous page? Did you say, oh no, he said to start at the top of 179 with the
eight
first
lines
pair.
Down.
How many lines? Eight lines, right. Okay, so that's the paragraph. Okay, so there it is. What Paris Loom? Okay, let me bring Roxy in just a second. Okay, can you hear me, Bert?
Yes, Bob.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so everybody's looking at least at what Roy's put up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to start reading it sort of slowly, and anybody can interrupt me at any point. They want to comment.
I could comment one thing about the sixth line down from page 179, it says shit show.
Right.
And that is the word of 2020. Somebody said that is the the word that's very popular in 2020, shit show.
I mean, that, they're talking thing. About the media and the election.
Yeah.
Well, that's very good.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, that's a really good point. Because, you know, you'll find a lot of synchronicity with Phineas Wake and what's going on as you get a group of people looking at it. That's a perfect example. It used to happen in our Wake group all the time. We'd find something in the couple of pages we do that reflected whatever's happening in general media consciousness.
Yeah.
So that's
thank you.
That's really
thank
good.
You.
Who said thank you? Ian?
We did.
So you, Ian, this is why we picked this page. Ian rigged it so we find this. Okay, very good, Ian.
By six or seven or a dozen of you gay boys. Yeah, that's right. We got it going on.
Okay, so in the working outline of Phineas Wake, which I have a copy of by, I think it's Bernard Benstock, just reviewing, because he gives a page or two and then says, so in Finnegan's Wake, in his outline, he has page 44 to 47, The Ballad of Paris O'Reilly. So he went through that. Then you go to 68, The Demise of the Two Temptresses. Now, I don't remember saying anything about that, but we can go back and look at it. Matter of fact, let's make that a point here, a principle. You can go, if you think of something we've done by doing the new page we're doing, you can bring that up. So then you start to relate pages. And then on page 81 to 85 was an encounter between the attacker and adversary, and that repeats the Humphrey Tipton Ear Worker and the CADS meeting. So we said it was a bloody encounter. I remember talking about that. So that's fit. So there's a lot of repeating archetypes, which would be Joyce trying to show the fact that it's darkness and aspects of darkness in a dialectic between nothing and light and black. So he keeps showing it by having different cultural references of their archetypes of famous encounters or fights. Okay, so there's that idea. And I've done this enough that I go, well, so what? We have our regular news today, endless fights on the news every day. Back in the 60s, they did pop songs finding the news irritating. The news is always the same, some lyric head. So now we come to page 178 to 179. This is interesting. It says, this is chapter 7, Shem... He's one of the twin sons. He's the more artistic son. Shem, venturing out after the war, okay, after November 3rd, finds himself facing a gun. Oh, man, you couldn't get it more literally than that's what we're talking about. A little granny's coming after people, right? So maybe Ion is super algorithming and patterns and says, okay, he scans through the whole book and he says, oh, here's something that resonates with this week's news. So he says, that's the next page. That's pretty good, Ion. But look at that, Shem, venturing out after the war, the sophomore war of the election, finds himself facing a gun. That's where we're at right now. We're right at whether how much the Civil War is going to get physically violent. So this will be fun to read to see what we get. Now, he's always going to be echoing every other fucking war in history in all these cultures all over the place. But he might be refining it to, let's see, 113 is the fifth thunder. Then there's a gap, and then you start doing the next five thunders. So thunder six was maybe two something. 257. Yeah, locked doors. I'm pretty sure that's the sixth thunder. Let me just check. 257, then 314, 332, 414 or so, and then 424. Yeah. So in terms of the thunders, as Eric McLuhan lays them out, The first five was going from speech, multisensory, up to visual space in the printed book, in basic outline. Now it's going to shift. The second five thunders are in ear mode. So we're going to go from visual space of the fifth thunder into the tenth thunder, which is total tactility in television. So the as we move out of visual space and start moving into kinetic and industrial technologies, moving towards radio and acoustic space, this thunder says lock doors. And there's a whole bunch of stuff. But lock doors. There's something either visual space has reached its peak, or lock doors can be the enclosure of visual of acoustic space. Anyways, we're in 179, which is in the realm between the sixth and seventh thunder. So once we post this recording, you can listen to it, and I remind you of stuff, and you can look up stuff. Look up, if you get Eric's thesis, look up things. So this is going to be endless echoing reminder of things. McLuhan called it the medieval memory theater. So Joyce is putting everything in there, so we remember everything, and our media environment becomes more and more like that. Nothing but replays, or everything that was done is there for you to experience again. So it's a big memory shit show. That's another aspect. So I guess we'll start. Does anybody have anything to say? Remember, you can jump in anytime. You can interrupt me. The better you interrupt, the most you interrupt, the better, because that means you're thinking and engaging. So,
well, Bob,
okay, we interrupt. Get this fucking shit show on the road. Let's go.
Okay. Very good idea, Ian. Good use of the word shit show there. Very nice. Yeah, go ahead. Come on. Don't wait.
Okay, Bob, I've got Eric McLuhan's book, Roll of Thunder, in Finnegan's Wake.
Good.
And you said, I don't see where you're getting the reference to doors, but...
Well, look at the thunder. It's Luckadoran. Remember, it's not just what you see. You say the thunder, lock doors. See? You can hear it.
Oh, okay.
Now, the,
okay,
the
well, then
role
this
of
might
a
not...
Q will give you the actual linguistic meanings of those terms. That's the going
right.
into the velocities and contrasts and angles and ratios in each word. But I made the... velocity versus position. I made the position in bigger perspective. It's a bunch of locked doors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The position
said,
of the particle.
Yeah. Okay. And you said it was between the fifth and the sixth thunder.
Yes. The fifth is 113. And the sixth is... well, what did I say that for? No, that's not right. 113 is the fifth thunder. Then the sixth thunder is 257. And we're on 179. So, yeah, we're between the fifth and sixth thunder on page 179.
Okay.
Right?
This might not apply, but in Eric McLuhan's book, The Sixth Thunderclap, The Phoenix Playhouse, Finnegan's Wake, 219 to 59, Retrieval and Revolution, Exits and Entrancings.
Yes.
So, and you said
what's
the
that?
Locked doors.
Yeah, now, it's really good you got the book. I mean, just having that book. Now, the way we're going to be talking and going all over the place and never even get to much of the text, that's normal in a Finnegan's Wake session. It's a great conversational breaker. That's what Finnegan's Wake is. It gets people talking and thinking, just trying to figure out what it is. So, you know, it's almost irrelevant what the book is about. It's a way of stimulating people into conversation. So the first five thunders are the increasing visual space, and you end up with the printing press, fifth thunder, 113. Now you're going to unravel the visual space prison and move into acoustic space then tactile space. The first thunder of the second phase, what Eric calls in ear mode, as opposed to the first five thunders being in eye mode, is the things leaving from visual space and new acoustic phenomena like opera showing up. And didn't you say they're in the opera house or something? What does Eric say?
Yeah, that's the title, the Phoenix Playhouse.
Right, theater. So there's movement as we transition into the ear mode. So there's exitings of, leavings of visual space culture and coming in acoustic space culture. That's
okay,
why he says exits and entrances.
Entrancings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And included in that title.
Entrancing. What, go ahead.
Entrancings. Included is retrieval and revolution. So it sounded just like what you were talking about.
Yeah, the electric revolution, the telegraph, that's the communist revolution or the Marxist, Marx and them, those guys. The emotion of multitude comes in with the telegraph. So what did you say? That's the revolutions and retrieval. So the Phoenix Wake is a massive tetrad. I think I'm the first to say that. There's lots of extensions, lots of obsolescence, a lot of retrievals, and lots of flipping into opposites. Matter of fact, that's the way book 1, 2, and 3, and 4 are laid out. But I mean, do that some other time. But very good. And
wow.
If anybody's got another, did you say wow?
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
I said wow.
And like, you got to think back then, people had no sense of change and movement. So Joyce is studying change and movement and coming up with this incredible book to show processes of change and movement that McLuhan turned into a science. That's how you would realize it was so new what Joyce was doing. He studied change in social reality, and people, they didn't encounter much change until Joyce's era with all these new technologies. McLuhan liked to say there were more inventions in the 19th century than the 20th century. A lot of the 20th century is just, you know, decorating electric technology, showing it in different ways. So endless, huge changes in the 19th century for people. Now, we have that as norm now. So Phoenix Wake is a nice middle point between not knowing anything about change or even recognizing it, and then in his period, and then our time of endless change. So it's the balance point. Now, I'm just saying this as I think about it. I may have thought of that before, but I never said it to anybody. But you should be able to get to this point of being able to talk, using Phoenix Wake to talk about all kinds of things, because it includes most ideas that you're going to come up with. So that's how you become a conversationalist, and that's ascension.
Wow.
So I'm going to start at the top of the page, even though just to go into it. So what was said? Who's banging stuff? Remember, don't bang things. It covers up. It comes in very strong. Okay, so Shem's facing a gun. So we see in the second line, at point-blank range, blinking down the barrel of an irregular revolver of the Bulldog, and you look up Bulldog, a pistol revolver, especially one of large caliber. So that's a gun. An irregular revolver of the Bulldog. Now, why is it irregular? Because it's a metaphor for the book itself is a gun aimed at you, a highly irregular gun that looked like a gun. So at point-blank range, blinking down the barrel of an irregular revolver of the Bulldog, and also the Bulldog, an animal, has the gun, with a purpose. What do they say that is? A tin with a purpose. And you look up his notebooks, 1922 to 23, and it says why he found himself at point-blank range, blinking into the barrel of an irregular revolver of the true Bulldog pattern, handled by an unknown quarreler, who supposedly had been told off. Maybe that's the end of that. And the gun is to shade and shoot shy Shem, should the shit show his shiny schnoot out a while to look facts in their face It sounds like Biden. To look facts in their face before being hosed and creased. Up, rip, and jack 'em. So hose and crease means hue and cry. Up, rip, and jack 'em. That's Jack the Ripper, Murderer of Women, 1988. So you guys are doing this. You guys are looking at the words, right? Seeing what I'm saying.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Oh, there's the gay boys that Ion mentioned. Remember he said something about gay boys?
Yeah.
By six or a dozen of the gay boys. So you see, Joyce is bringing together group elements, and in determining where is he? He's supposedly in a park, but there could be a gay club. Hose and creased. So I'm not going to say much more. Let you guys talk about the lines.
Cry. For me, the gay club is the Vatican.
Okay.
And I just thought about Vigano's letter to Trump. He was the one who made this pedophilia scandal known, because he was the nuncio apostolico, like the ambassador of the Vatican in America.
Right. He knew about Pizzagate stuff, you mean?
Yeah. Because of him, the last pope had to resign, and he also asked his pope to resign. And on his last letter to Trump, he was talking also about the sons of the darkness and the sons of the light, the ones that want to have these vaccines and this FEMA camp situation with the chiefs and control and all this, and the ones that are for ascension, like Trump.
Who wants ascension? What did you say?
The light. The light wants all colors.
Right, right. So you're taking the gay boy.
They had been in control, like the Jesuits and all.
Yeah, I know. But you're doing a conditioned response.
Yes.
If you bring up gay boys, people are going to think about the Vatican, a lot of people. So that's a conditioned response, of a free association. And maybe there. Now we could say, okay, I'm a journalist trying to figure things out. This shit show of this year has been a ridiculous election, and Biden is could be part of Pizzagate. Matter of fact, some people believe that, right? That's the QAnon thesis. A battle between exposing...
Well, they actually guilt of everything they had been accusing Trump of. And I don't know why Trump didn't prosecute him when they found these things on his computer, the son and him. That
well,
they were
wait
actually
a minute.
Doing...
That's going to be done. Trump couldn't do anything. That's what I've been talking about. They've had to be very careful. He had to get in a position of power so that he could get a second term. So,
yes, and the thing is, like you say, this is a conditioned response, but this is what we have learned with Ion. Like on the Bible, they say you have to repent, and this is the big thing, you have to repent in Catholicism, in Christianism. But actually, we found out that the word in Greek that was translated as repentance was metanoia, which means to look back.
Yes.
And in your chart, you have been looking back at all the metanoia of the great
thing. Okay, here's the thing about looking back. That's a product of books. There was no back, no time, no past and future in pre-literate people. So they didn't look back. So
yes, but like Marshall McLuhan said, Edgar Allan Poe made this big thing about the suspense thriller and going back to find who was the criminal. And this is actually what you've been doing, but this is like the greatest thing, going back into the Bible and finding out what the
I found
what
out
that thing
I
really
was
means.
The criminal.
Yes, you. Back though.
Right.
But everybody has been, what does this mean? What does this Bible mean? What does this phrase mean? All the
time people had been trying to find out, and then Arion comes and said, well, this god, this king is actually Biden, who was the most perverted, the ones that were doing black magic. And
did you say the king is Biden? You said Biden, but you meant Biden?
Yeah, that's why I do this response, because like Arion does always relate to the now. He doesn't go.
Yes. Right. Okay, so I don't want to get too much. You may be overloading people with information, so that was very good. But let me just see who needs to be unmuted.
The side of the darkness.
Right. Like I don't want to put things in light and dark terms. That's actually blaming somebody. You make a polarity. You say, well, this guy's light and those guys are dark. That's the big problem that Joyce is making fun of. In human culture, human beings.
Yes, but that's like you said, the Gutenberg galaxy thing. Since the writing started, we started with that archetype of the darkness and the light, but
yeah.
You just made this brilliant explanation of how the darkness and the light and
the metaphor.
The ratio between that is this contrast that we need
right.
In this reality too.
Not that the ebb and flow is more than you can have, triad, triangulation contrast, you can have quaternion, four ways, pentad, five ways, two, dyad or dielectric. Yeah, we have different complexities of contrast. Okay, so I don't, that was good what you're
yes,
saying,
okay.
But we can't keep having you and I talk.
Yes.
So,
you say something, I say something. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Next
but I'm encouraging other people, do not be shy, say stuff. What are you reminded of? We need more words.
Bob, I was just reminded of the difference between black and darkness when you guys were talking about that.
Yeah. You have nothing more to say?
Well, I don't want to mess it up.
Well, the blackness.
And how you can yeah.
Okay, the blackness would be, ultimately, there's no meaning underneath these pages. But the darkness is all the suggested shadows of stories and narratives and meanings that is happening in our life today, daily. So many suggestions going on all the time. It wasn't like that, 150 years ago. Imagine how slow people's minds were. Not that doesn't mean that they were stupider or evil or unperceptive, but way different. They weren't speeded up on the levels we are, which could be a kind of hell. Okay, so that was a good thing. Look, there's Jack here. There's Jermaine, there's Kenley, Scott. Say some things.
I finally found the McHugh annotations, but
wow.
It's going to take a few minutes to get them uploaded to my...
okay, you can do that, but you have any, don't get too distracted. We're not in a rush. We got the annotations good enough already. It'd be good to have your dad to it. But what do you say about what we're looking at?
This is the Civil War that he's talking about.
Yeah. Well, it's what everybody would worry about, that you meet the enemy in a dark alley or someplace by yourself. And that's what's happening here to Shem. He's bumped into a guy who is out to kill him for some reason.
And Shem is Biden, or is who is the? He's the
okay.
He's one of the two brothers that is the
right.
The bad brother.
He would be the
so
bad
he's
brother.
He's the old paradigm that everybody is rebelling against, right?
Definitely, he's the creative, isolated, ignored. He's Trump. Biden was a successful guy. Sean is a politician and gladhander and a respectable young man. You know, he does well. Shem is the bohemian artist, bad kid, doing weird stuff. Now, they portray Trump that way.
But in your notes, Shem sort of represents the past that people are rebelling against in the new environment.
No, that's Sean. They're rebelling against Sean. Trump represents the new path for a lot of losers, for just people who had never had any success, supposedly. That's the cliche about the deplorables. So he's...
Oh, maybe I got that mixed up.
Yeah, Shem is the artist, bad son. Sean is the nice, beautiful son who does well. Let me see. Who do we know among us? Anybody who... In a way, Roxy is the Shem of her family, and Audrey is the Sean. She's out in the public on a TV show healing people. Roxy's fucking eating hot dogs at a fashion show in Berlin and won't even talk to her mother. You know, that's Shem and Sean right there.
So I'm the Shem of my family, and my brother is,
yes,
is the Sean.
Yeah, so, yeah. And that seems to be a common thing in families. You know, it's a cliche. He's the black sheep, and he's the good brother. And so and this is why McLuhan says, from cliche, the brother thing, brother conflict is a cliche, to archetype. So he's going to make a big meaning out of it. That's what archetype means, a big significance. And he does it by piling on every cultural reference to every brother battle that ever was. And he uses encyclopedia. What?
The angelic family is like the ones that rebelled against the father.
Yeah.
God.
You could say Shem is the Lucifer. You'll see every possible echo of badness will be in Shem. And every possible echo of Sean, of good stuff, will be in Sean. But he then, as you read it, it gets all mixed up. And then you start looking at, well, the thunder is a context. You know, under opera conditions, this kind of person is bad. And that kind of person is good. And that shifts because the technologies... Take actors. Actors are the gods of the 20th century, you could say. But in Shakespeare's time, actors were scum. They were dope dealers, you know. They were just wandering through and a whole different bad image. Now, that's what we're told. That's the cliche of education. They tell you that, right? But that's an example of the different cultural context changes the Shem and Sean. Shem can be Sean in some cultures. And that's another aspect of change that Joyce is showing. It's interesting if you look at Phineas Wake as teaching people about change. And then after World War II, many people went to college. They studied sociology, archaeology, studied all kinds of sciences about change. But Joyce sort of got there first in dealing with the, at least predicting the rapidity of change. He's the ultimate sociologist before sociology happened. Or psychology does change. So this is what you look for. And McHugh's annotations will cite psychological schools, sociological schools, science schools. It's amazing that his book resonates of all the kinds of knowledge that people can have once you have a printing press, which gives you books with all kinds of categories and voluminous words. And that's going to flip into a weird world where one guy is fucking everybody up. You know, that's Trump. So the information society has imploded.
Am I unmuted?
Yes.
No, I am.
Yeah.
Purpose pattern. Bob, would, okay, back then in Joyce's time, would there have been such a thing as what people would consider conspiracy theory?
Well, yeah, that was normal stuff back then. Now, 19th century journalism is filled with that. Newspapers, nothing. That fucker's a Catholic. He's a Vatican conspirator, you know, and someone else is something else. That's all they did.
I mean, that was the everyday thing in the court.
So those were different opinions.
Yeah.
Those opinions had purpose. There were patterns in those opinions.
Yeah, they were skeptical of purpose. Remember, a little town.
Yes.
They don't like
yes.
strangers.
Skeptical of purpose. So, both Biden
yeah, you've got, you've got,
are looking
you've
down
got
the
here.
Barrel.
Hold it, Gene. If someone starts to talk, let them in, and rather than
well,
defending what you're finishing. You know, just,
okay.
just stop. Then the first person got momentum.
Okay.
They actually should wait till you're finished, but they didn't. So let them talk. Go ahead, Scott.
No, I thought she was finished. I was just looking at your chart here, Shim and Sean, and you've got columns. Shim is usury monarchy. Sean is manufacturers.
Okay, I took fitting its wake. That's the bigger chart. The tiny note is a small part of that chart. If you look down at the near the bottom, second last horizontal, it's holopathic something. Holopathic cliche probes. But the
yeah.
larger chart is the Humphrey Chipton Air Workers family. You know, HCE, Humphrey Chipton Air Worker, and Olivia Plurabelle, ALP. Now, I make ALP, the woman, the ground. New technologies come out of the woman archetype, like the rib came out of Adam, and then that was the first.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at. It says ALP is half stage, bottom-up ground effects, proceeding
yep.
causes. Shim is technological, cultural enemy.
Well, let me say something about that, Scott.
Okay,
I'm coming in, so you stop. Now, HCE is man. He's organizing society. He's the mm-hmm. it's the patriarchy. So the woman creates a new environment that causes wars on the HCE right-hand column among the men factions. And the children are figures of older technologies or different effects. That's how you read the three in the middle. They're older technologies that are being forced to, that are being disturbed by the new environment that's under ALP.
Mm.
So you can, now I said that, you can read across the top what it says.
Yeah, under Shim it says technological cultural enemy. Sean says technological weaponry. Issy says anthropomorphic sociological psychological mask lag.
Yeah.
And HCE says top-down bureaucratic ground causes merging with effects.
Right.
So there are two grounds, the father
yeah,
and the mother.
Figure and ground, yeah. Two types of ground.
Mm-hmm.
Two spaces.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Under telegraph, yeah.
Under telegraph, that's under ALP. Shim is usury monarchy. Sean is manufacturers. Issy is Washington, 1776. And HCE is 1750 to 1800, lockdown centralization.
Right. So that's an inventory of effects triggered by the ground on the left under ALP. So the telegraph is going to cause war in the most recent technologies. So, you know, cannonballs or guns, that's weaponry. And what do I say is under Shim? Technological upset?
Usury monarchy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So usury monarchy is an older environment that came out with the printing press. And that, it becomes a figure of an attackment. Things are attacking it. That's when you start to think the Jew is causing problems, the Jewish bankers. So old usury monarchy is older institution, and then it's pure weaponry under Sean, what is that? That'd be political.
Manufacturers. So
right,
that would
manufacturers.
Be the industrial revolution.
Yeah, so the industrial guys are the newest environment just before the telegraph. And when you bring in the telegraph, the most recent older guys get into a fight. They try to lock down the threatened hardware manufacturing industries by 1850 under the impact of this software membrane that's going around the planet, which is a shocking new environment, which is moving people towards software. And then you have...
So that's why Shim is being threatened in the mail.
Yeah.
With a knife.
The monarchy, the usury monarchy, gets into a problem with the manufacturers. And then what is under Issy?
Issy is Washington, 1776.
Yes, that's the American Revolution.
Right.
And is he the first? Is he the who do I have before him? Is he the first?
Yeah.
Right. I'm basically doing the electric era, 1850 to 2020. So Washington represents the political figures that are a bit obsolete.
Yeah.
They're not the ground anymore. So he's a bit the icon of the perfect leader, Washington, an American new amazing nation. That is under stress. See, if you look
American
above
exceptionalism.
The three names,
that's American exceptionalism. That's
right.
American exceptionalism, yeah.
Right. Now look above the three middle names. What do I call them? Archetypes or something?
Actors, retrievals, interiorization.
Right. So they're figures. They're actors. They are actually what McLuhan later called the medium. When a new environment comes in, no one really gets it. But it shakes up the earlier environments who become figures, so they're the actors. So there's three types of actors. Pure technology, manufacturers, the older technology of monarchy and usury, and then the political heroes. Politicians. So you'll see as you go down through each technological phase underneath Washington, you'll see the different eras and the different cliche heroes of the period.
Yeah, you know those are all being retrieved now.
Yeah,
I mean, they were in that period, but they're all being retrieved now as well because everybody's pissed off about the usurers and the bankers, the financiers.
Here comes every grievance now.
Yeah,
here comes everybody and every grievance, which is total Finnegan's Wake, and he predicted it. And yet it's all virtual because it's on the Internet. It's not happening in my neighborhood. It's happening on my computer in my bedroom or wherever the smartphone is.
Well, it's happening on the ground in Portland.
Yeah, well, that's just one freak place. There's different areas having different reactions all over. But, generally, the riots of 2020 are actors of a ground over under ALP.
What do you mean
different
by
argument?
Under Izzy, you have anthropomorphic, sociological, psychological mask / leg.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. The leaders, because it's really a battle of technologies. I think Harold Innes said the American Civil Revolution was a battle between the fur trappers and the farmers. Okay? So, through technologies is actually what was going on. But then you have all these anthropomorphic human actors, Paul Revere and everybody in the middle of it, right? So, Washington is a major projection of human psychology and sociology, recognizable human change, one of the actors against pure usury and pure manufacturers. So yes, under Issy is the human face of the strife.
Well, the sacrificial Christ of the era was. Just let me say this. The sacrificial Christ, the American Jesus was Lincoln.
Well, this is before that. Washington is the previous Jesus.
Yeah, that's true. He was the good guy, chopped down the cherry tree, but owned up to it.
But look at what's under HCE. That's the secret society. That's the top-down LaRouche level. So what do I have there under HCE?
1750, 1800, lockdown, centralization.
Oh, you know who they are? That's the French Revolution. Cincinnati Society in the States and the Jacobins and whatever other revolutionary groups are over there in France. They're the secret society. That's the beginning of the Illuminati knowledge, right? 1776 is the Bavarian Illuminati books that came out. So HCE, the guy, the father, he knows more than the kids. He knows a different stuff from his wife. So you'll see the conspiratorial history under HCE. And the
so telegraph hasn't happened yet. It's just nascent. Telegraph hasn't happened yet. It's just on the verge of happening.
Yeah. Did you say photograph just happened?
Telegraph.
Telegraph. Yes. That, and, I've got. It's a vaster time span in that chart.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically 1750 to 2020. Whereas the tiny note, you'll see down on the left, holeopathic, it comes out of holeopathic, plesiopropes, and anthropomorphic, physical, two horizontals down at the bottom. They're from 1960 to 1990, as opposed to 1750 to 2020.
Now, you've got 1990 to 2020 lockdown Bob Rule.
That was 25 years ago, and it came true, Scott. Note that.
And under Izzy, it says me, 2012.
That's right.
Under Sean, it says satellite and laser beam.
Yeah.
And under Shim, it says holeopathic cliche probes.
Right.
And then there's just a bunch of slashes under L. So we don't know what that is.
No, you know what that is? That's under, that's ALP, that's the latest technology. I predicted the mystery landscape. It's a fucking mystery. I knew that was what was coming. Pretty great. Bet you Roxy's impressed with that.
Very impressed.
Well, it's great.
It's really fascinating.
I'm glad you found the chart, because it is a translation of Finning's Wake I got there. So it's appropriate.
And, yeah, this is helpful.
I think if one gets into these the things I was trying to understand, the darkness and the light, these archetypes, and I see Leonardo made the darkness as La Mona Lisa and the light as Jesus with not with the open book but with a crystal on his hand. And behind the Mona Lisa there are two columns that you can only see a little part of it, and then there are the two paths, and it actually says Isis.
Yeah.
With the curves of the paths and the columns.
The columns can be either HC or ALP or ISI, Shem and Sean with ISI as the third thing you just said.
Yes, for me the columns are like the I and the paths, the curves are like S, you know, like the...
What?
Stabos Moses.
Oh, yeah.
The Stabos Moses or the symbol of medicine.
Yeah.
And that's the fascinating thing with the Finnegan's Wake, that he made this conglomerate of archetypes that had been around in many things, in many cultures.
It's a conglomeration of cliches and archetypes.
Yes, and when Frank the First, who wanted to be like the defender of the faith, because the French started to propagate Christianism in Europe, and he was trying to build the temple, not like Trump is doing.
Yeah.
He started building Chambord in 1515, which is also Isis, and then we have the 9/11, which is an S and two columns.
Yeah.
So again, and then we have these terrorists, the ISIS. So it's very weird how these things come out again and again and again and again.
Okay, so listen to this. This is where how you understand McLuhan. He's constantly thinking about Finnegan's Wake and trying to make more general statements and not get lost in the details. So he said every word, or maybe it was two words, but I think it was every word evokes every other word. So there's a ricocheting going on between words, which then can be ionic frequencies at the under the cellular level. Anyways, that's...
But I think it has to do with the fact that everything is energy, and this is this hologram where everything contains all of the information of the whole, and that's why Ion says you can be doing everything, you can create everything, because actually everything can be in ourselves, the whole universe.
Well,
like
it is.
And you are
creating everything.
Inside the earth, the ion says there are the parts of the sea that are so deep, deeper than the space. I don't know.
Okay, stop talking. We've had enough. We got your free association. I don't mean that negatively. Just you got to hold it. But as you talk, I always think of generalized statements from McLuhan. That's what's neat about it. You see McLuhan, you're going in about all these archetypes, and then you realize, well, a word is an archetype, and it triggers every other word in a language. So
yes, because I suppose the language wants to translate this all-newing, the hologram or the matrix or whatever you want to call it.
Well, language is another variation of energies, and they're swimming around trying to make a purpose pattern for themselves. See, this is what's interesting. The gun that's being shown to Shem, you are Shem the reader. Making sense. And this book is a gun. He knows the violence of art. Okay, so that's a way to look at that. And then there's other ways. But look at all the different ideas you start thinking. And you're not going to stick with any one of them. If more and more...
Marshall McLuhan said there is a war after big technology is created because that's like the gun.
What war did you refer to?
All the big wars are the result of technologies.
Yes, that's a general principle. And then certain kind of wars with guns, you know, each different kind of weapons. And he's pointing out that radio is a weapon. People didn't see that. They just thought it was entertainment. But I forget what I was going to say. But the, let's leave it at that. Does anybody else want to say something about the first few sentences that we've read?
Well, before we leave your chart, I want to know what more information about what you mean by mask and leg under Izzy. The last is mask.
Yeah, George Washington becomes a hero, like, say, the 50 years after his life. It's a slower time back then, so he becomes a hero of the early, pistol wars, and he hasn't got a prayer against the telegraph effects. And the working man sees that, so he gets together and forms communism or socialism and all that, and that really worries the manufacturers. So it's a lag. There's a culture lag of anthropomorphic sociological hero, psychological hero. See, so that's what I mean. And it's a mask people put on because they can't handle the present.
Yes. Okay. Wow.
It's a mask leg. And of course, this is what McLuhan, it's a translation mainly of McLuhan and LaRouche on the big picture. And you can put in Beter and May Brussel as aspects, but it's the interplay of top-down and bottom-up. We had made two charts, which are somewhere online, or maybe Ed has them. The early top-down, which is a simple, very simple version of what Scott's looking at, and the bottom up. I don't know what I said. Bottom up is one of them, and one of them is top down. So the conspiracy stuff is in one chart, the top down chart, and the McLuhan bottom up effects are in the second chart. So those two charts were put together 10 years later into that one you're looking at, and it's subplot, the tidy note chart.
Nice. Okay.
85 and 95. But it's dealing with, it's trying to put in order all the information overload of Finnegan's Wake translated by McLuhan and LaRouche. You know, put in a simple statement.
Yeah, that's really good. Mask leg. Like a put on for a different purpose.
It's a serious put on. Nobody had anything. They're just starting to read. in America. And so what do they got? They got this great hero, George Washington. And so he's what's taught in school. And it is not effective. It's not going to be a useful perception of what the telegraph's going to do.
Yep. George chopping down the cherry tree just doesn't cut it.
Right. Now look, what's the next guy, Scott, underneath Washington?
Jefferson.
Okay. You see, that's a little later, and he becomes a hero getting into the 19th century. So you work your way down. You can see that it's very mechanical and sequential. Just run through them.
Yeah. Jefferson, Lincoln, Roosevelt, Kennedy, Nixon, Reagan, Perot, and me, Bob.
Now, Perot is interesting. Perot is a precursor to Trump. He tries to do a third party or spin off and be a rogue, you know, and use his media. He has media he can use. Third world, fourth world media goes around the main networks. So Perot is an important phenomenon.
It was an exciting time then, yes.
Well, for someone of your generation, maybe.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it got everybody more involved in politics because I think people were, you know, just tired of the same old stuff. But then Ian said that he was dead long before that he died.
Yeah, he died before he was known? Is that what you said?
Oh, no, he died long before that, then he really died. I you know, the two kind of deaths.
Well, a couple of years. I mean, are you saying he was dead when he was running for president?
Oh, I don't know whether that time, but Ian just said that he was dead a long time before he died.
He was dead socially, sexually.
Well, I don't know what kind of dead actually.
No, that's what I remember. Ian sort of talking about him personally.
Yeah, well, I think I don't know whether it was sexually. I think he was more dead that maybe he just didn't care anymore.
Well, are you making up a theory, or your quote? You remember Ion saying?
No. He said, "Well,
are you remembering Ion?"
I remember that he said that he was dead long before that he actually died.
Well, ask Ion right there.
Ion,
ask me.
What kind of dead was Perot before he died?
practically.
You mean impotent, physically impotent?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that man. He was sexually impotent. Here was this impotent dead guy exciting people on the TV body level. It's a new kind of excitement.
That was.
Anyway, I'm going to read the next part. What Paris Salam Seon Palam, which means saint by Saint Paul or Sao Paulo, Brazil. What para, now we got paramediacology, what Paraseum Pleum in the names of Deucalion and Pyrrha, Deucalion, the son of Prometheus, creator of mankind, so there's a lot of stuff in that, in the names of Deucalion and Pyrrha, and the incense privy, angered at something unjust or wrong. The incense privy, does that mean that toilet is incensed? The room is in, the bathroom is incensed, and the licensed pantry, a small storeroom of storing foods or wines, and Tanatis, guardian spirits of the larder in Roman households, and the licensed pantry gods, and Stator, the Stator supporter, referring to Jupiter, and Victor, and cut and run. Cut and run means to cut mooring cables and sail before the wind to hurry off. And the whole Mesa Redondo, district province of Laurentio Atulas. St. Lawrence of Tool is a big character all through Finnegan's Wake. He was the patron of Dublin. In convocation, or convocation, the action of calling together, assembling, the state or fact of being called together. So some kind of crowd panic is going on, at least in the couple of lines there. So what, in the name of these crowd panics, was this disinterestingly, that means not interesting, low human type, I think he's talking about the guy with the gun, this calumnious, slanderous, defamatory column of cloacity, which means the sewer, this Bengalese beacon, Bengal fire, a kind of firework producing a steady and vivid blue-colored light, of biloxity, which is bile, anger, and bilious, this animite, so the guy with the gun is angry, this animite apper, a province of Vietnam, of atrocity, is atrocity and dark, horrible, gloomy, really at, was this disinteresting low human type really at? What was he at? It will be precise to quarify, which means to how, why, question marks, qualify and clarify, for he seems in a bad, bad case. Okay, so this is a cross-cultural technological panic as well as a personal panic, a sociological panic, an artistic panic, motivating the guy with the gun. It's a question. What a ridiculous question, for fuck's sake. It's, again, why is Joyce being ridiculous? Well, considering where we are now, it makes sense. And that's McLuhan's theory, that the artist picks up problems that no one knows yet. The real artist, not the bullshit artist. Oh, you know, that Ion? You know, like that
Ion? You know what this reminds me of?
Yeah.
Is Cormac McCarthy's book at the, it was one of his first books, and there's this evil character in it called Judge Dr. Holden. Hello?
I don't know who that was. Carry on. No, I know Cormac. I know who you're referring to.
Yeah, it's a very violent novel, but at the very end of it, Holden gets up on stage and dances naked with a bear. You know, dancing bear?
Is it in and, our time? What era?
Well, this was, it's about, it's a Western about the 1840s, I think, something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's about the changeover, basically he writes about the changeover between one media era and the next.
Yeah.
And so Judge Holden is the evil character, and he gets up on stage and he confronts the kid, and the kid says, like, you ain't nothing, you're no big deal, you know, stuff like that. And so the judge gets everybody rocking and rolling in this dance hall and stuff like that. And at the end of the dance, he kills the bear. And then the kid leaves the party or whatever is going on, and he walks into a privy, which he calls a Jake, and he walks in there and shuts the door, and then the next thing you know, someone comes along and opens the privy and starts screaming.
At
because apparently the Holden has murdered him. He murdered the kid. Or something like
that. Oh, yeah, yeah. He goes, he opens a privy and something's dead in there.
Yeah. And so that's the way the novel ends. It's really
right.
Strange ending. But this paragraph sort of reminded me of that because it's about an incense privy or a masked privy, you know, it's supposed to smell good, but it doesn't smell good. And
right.
You know,
so, Scott, here's the idea I get from that. Joyce knew that human creativity would just expand. More people would write, more people would paint, more people would make movies and all this. So he had to include every possible thought and resonance and echo because you're going to be someone 100 years later who's read many books, and you will find things in there reminding you, and it's a way of stimulating your own memories, because you might not have thought of the Cormac book in 10 years. Mm-hmm. So there's so much latent information going into your head every day that lies dormant unless there's a way to evoke it. And Finnegan's Wake becomes the memory theater to evoke your memories by accident. See, that's mm-hmm. a pretty amazing thing that he's doing for you there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, that's the user's content. None of us would have those images, but that doesn't matter. That's what you've brought to it, and that's what's triggered.
Yeah, the novel actually opens with Judge Holden getting the crowd incensed against a preacher by claiming that he was a child molester. And after he gets the crowd into this murderous mood, and they advance towards the preacher and they're going to kill him, and he's like, he's attempting to profess his innocence, but it's clear he's going to get murdered. The judge slips out the back of the tent, goes over to the bar and starts drinking beer and celebrating. So he's really an evil guy, really evil.
Right, but that's your René Girard guy that causes the blame thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the priest.
Yeah.
He's the judge. He does both factors. He represents social order, but he has to keep stirring it up to keep the need for order under his terms.
Yeah.
Had you thought of that? The mimesis thing, he's acting that out there.
Well, yeah, that's the whole idea of Satan casting out Satan.
Yeah. So he's creating a disease and offering the cure. So he's not, as we get more sophisticated and aware of these changes in society today, you're inclined not to say he's evil. We understand what he's doing. The people at the time would think is evil if they found out what he was doing. But we don't. We understand that's business, day-to-day business.
Well, on one level, it's representative of a mechanism, sort of.
Yep.
Yeah, but we're trying to get beyond mechanisms.
Yeah.
So...
And this is the way to do it. This book has so many, it's the book of changes, you know, like the I Ching. It's a modern book of changes helping people have process pattern recognition so that they aren't so automatic in their conditioned responses. Which brings in Ian. So Ian, what were you saying a minute ago? You were inspired to say something about this paragraph? Come on, you can say something. You did say something. What did you say?
We said, hey, hey, hey.
at one point, it's something I was saying. You liked what I was saying.
Yeah, we did. It was good.
You remember what it was?
Yeah, we were talking about after we got past the impotent for the input.
Oh, yeah, what's his name?
Then the next phase when you were coming into the travail conversation, basically. We agreed.
Okay, so you may be stunned by the thoughts, but it's no excuse. Say something. What are you doing, Kenley or Jermaine? How come you don't say anything?
Bob, in that last paragraph, you've got the CC of C, and then the BB of B, and then the AA of A.
Well, that's pretty good. That's like, very good.
So CBA is like going backwards, and if you look at the of, you've got the sewer and the bile and the dark.
Oh yeah,
so
they're all the same. Yeah,
they're all going. Yeah, there's like it's like going into a negative place, isn't it?
And it's also poetic, you know, rhyming and joking. He's just being idiotic.
Yeah.
Okay, we got colaxity, biloxity, and atroxity. And he had to make it atroxity to get the X to meet the other. So that's the childlike playfulness of making rhymes and echoes that he's doing. And now I didn't even notice that, but it's obvious to notice it, but I'm too busy looking at other stuff. But that's what's good about a group reading of Finnegan's Wake. Anybody can come up with something.
You said something about Sao Paulo in there, Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil.
Right? Yeah, that's where Neymar Jr. is from. He's probably the biggest soccer star in the world right now. That's where he's
from. And
although
that's Quavo took you to Brazil.
Exactly, and that's where.
And Quavo's lurking in the background, trying to figure out whether we're Satan or not.
Definitely not Satan. God.
So, look, you have to look at the guts of Joyce to be so ridiculous, and yet we come along and make meaning out of it. Well, with the help of McLuhan, or Ion. Ion says this is the important book to read.
How does Ion ever want to go over it if it's the most important book to read?
Did he ever explain that? No.
I am.
We're here. We're doing
it. How come you don't like Bob to go over Finnegan's Wake?
Well, you just, we don't want to encourage it too much. You don't. You only have a 12-hour show.
So what did you say, Jack? Don't like what about Bob?
No, I was saying how come he doesn't like when you go over Finnegan's Wake.
They don't like doing it?
Yeah, like during the show, just because he says we may go into it a little bit too much and it's only a 12-hour show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's this could go on for many hours. So, now, we only did basically a paragraph. That's typical in the Finnegan's Wake reading group. You don't get very far, but you have very interesting conversation. You've heard many different kinds of notions. You guys heard about Cormac McCarthy. Most of you never heard of him before. He's like the top novelist of our day.
But Joyce said he made the Finnegan's Wake so that humanity will get will engage that forever, for all eternity.
Right, that's right.
So
and
if you ascend,
so
then you have at least something to do.
Right, it gives people something to do in the interval when they're bored. But it's the because we're going to keep making new words. Just look at any scientific journal. You know, you don't know any of the words, but they're always making new crazy words in their scientific journals. So endless new words and ideas. He found a way to keep up with the evolution of culture, which is just more and more words, you know, for drugs and medicine. So that's quite, and he didn't know what he was doing, according to himself, when he spoke through Ion back in the first
yes,
week.
Actually, it's like all the things that are produced is like the big synocracy, you know, like Zappa's term. That you make a melody for one purpose, and then you mix it with something else that
yes.
was made another day for another purpose, and then you have this weird result.
Well, that's what we used to say on the show, bashing. I don't know if we got it from McLuhan, bashing cliches against cliches to make new archetypes or something. We used to say, you know, we get on the show, we talk about whatever's going on, and we consider it cliche topics. Bashing cliches against other cliches. I think McLuhan said something like that, but that's what we're doing here. And some turn into archetypes or retrieve archetypes, which are ancient cliches that have been around a long time. But this is the creative process. He put it in book form for groups and individuals. Like, it's a marvel to figure out reasons it's useful.
Well, yes, because at the end, all these outer words by everybody, even pop songs, even things that we think are not relevant,
right,
are somehow adding to what is being created. Like if Ion says you have to say the airs and the keys, and you're going to see some results.
Yay.
There is.
What, Ion?
He said, yay. He
said, yay.
Yes, because at the end, all this mix is like angel talk.
That yeah.
seems to have no sense, but
right.
who knows what humanity is creating.
And critics basically, and these are, they're all wrong, but as they were first in the first 30, 40 years trying to find some literate patterns in there, the main agreement was the last page is an angel appearing to ALP. So there's your angel theme. And then ALP can be Mary, right? And then she's going to conceive the Savior. So that's just one thing.
You mean the abomination.
Yes, the abomination. Mr. Obama.
Because the angel is like the messenger of God.
That's the cliche.
And so the technology
we now know from
creation.
Ion, we know from Ion that's a fucking fake thing. That's something we shouldn't praise too much, the message from the angel. I mean, the angel caused the third Jesus, the fucked up Jesus.
Yes, but that's why they may say it's about an angel talking to this guy, because...
Well, you're going to be able to put every cultural form in here. That's what McClellan said. Sinning's Wake contains every media that ever was made and any media that's going to be invented. And the Internet proves that. So what did you just say? Why did I say that? Something about angels?
That they say that, it's about an angel that appeared to this guy, but...
Well, that's Joseph Smith of the Mormons. Or it could have been a UFO now.
Might have been Joseph.
But maybe this is the idea of the...
Okay, hold it. There's a guy talking. Who's that?
We are a guy.
Are you? What were you saying?
We said there's also Joseph Stalin in Russia.
Look at all the... Yeah, remember, people didn't know nothing 150 years ago. They might have known some Dick and Jane
Bob,
story.
You can't impress us tonight, you're saying.
So is there... We're citing some Russian icon... So, and the Russians don't know this, and they're over there talking about me because I'm on the McClellan site, and there's the McClellan forum. There's a bunch of Russians on there, so they're talking about me tonight, and they don't know we're talking about them. You see how you can't say where we're at in this situation. Where the hell are we? The things that one could think of.
Well, I suppose when Ion talks about Stalin, it's like people think they're voting for the power of the people and democracy, and it's actually the dictatorship of a few.
Yeah.
And
then a dictatorship of
actually,
technology.
Instead of taking the power and ascending... It's like, some people prefer to be ruled by the pharaoh and be little men.
No, they want to have a reason to have a fight. So the election is really a British football game with the headbangers, and we're getting into the recess period, halftime
yeah.
where the buttheads start banging each other,
yeah.
hitting each other. All over some.
Yes,
yes, Ion. We heard that the tribulation. Was it the trial?
You know what the Mexican president said is too early to congratulate Biden or to celebrate his victory.
He made a comment on the American election.
Yeah, so nobody understands in Mexico. Why? How does it there?
But see,
Trump,
this is what McClellan
Trump is the enemy of the Mexicans, but when people start to get Trump, and they see that he was really cleaning the swamp, not only in America,
yeah.
then they have a great respect for Trump, and I mean, I can only think that this is some type of strategy to be able to do the next move in the chess game.
Right, and it shows how Trump is a biblical force.
Yes, and actually this idea that America had like some type of a special role in the destiny of humanity, you know, that the Americans always said, okay, we're going to be like...
Well, it's like the judge. It's God's judge. America, you know, creates and offers diseases and cures regularly. And so maybe Cormac saw the judge as an archetype of a metaphor for America.
Yes, because here, if you see really like all these lockdown measures, how everything is now a FEMA camp, and now they want to have we have the vaccine, and you have the chip, and you have this passport, and there is no more liquid money, so everything is controlled by the Android meme, and it's like, okay, that's what they're choosing, and they don't see that they're not choosing democracy, but they're choosing the biggest dictatorship of the Android meme.
But that's because there's so many of the huge environments. The airplanes are a dictatorship. You can't fucking impose your personal values on an airplane. You got to go along with the environment that the group that runs the airplanes mandates. So we're looking for freedom, and we don't need old-fashioned freedom to be a successful airport, you know, traveling people. Imagine start declaring freedom bullshit in the middle of an airplane.
Freedom bullshit. Attach your belt. We are going to declare freedom.
Yeah, we're going to declare this a free
some
state.
Some turbulence is coming.
Free state of Air Canada.
Here is Sue Bone talking to you, people.
Here's Sue Bone. That's great. And all of a sudden, there's a fucking guy just stands up and shoots you in the head. You know, the air marshal. They're there waiting for someone to actually get the idea to declare the airplane a free country.
And we just landed in a parallel world.
That's right. So the but I was thinking just before that McLuhan and Wood the Wake develops your critical ability to look at all this phenomena going on in the world, the global theater, as a wonderful art object, a poem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you've gone cliche. You've gone cliche now, Bob.
I want to get back to the real stuff itself. Okay, so this has been the best Phineas Wake thing. So I don't need to read any more, eh? We everybody agree we finished? Many ideas, many
great,
insights
Bob.
Tonight. Many insights. Yeah, now, Gene, so this is a nice different... It's using the book. Like, Ion does this, what the book is doing, with its information overload. But this is another way to do Ion.
Sure.
But probably not as productive.
Probably not, but it was very revealing.
What'd you say, Gene?
I am impressed how things are like... they were put there, like, for you to remember.
What things?
Information that had the link with the now, with
you
the very now.
That Wake? You talking about Phineas Wake?
Yeah. Phineas Wake or Zappa. The people you've been studying.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes, it's
well, you booked.
Like, I don't know. If...
Hey, Roxy, you look back in Goober Galaxy. The major thinkers were guys like Ruskin. He goes to Venice and he writes this book about how beautiful Venice is. And the peasants back in Europe, they don't know anything about Venice. They've never seen anything written about it. And so then he starts a whole mid 19th century art movement because he wrote about Venice. So traditionally, in the Goober Galaxy, people would go out and apply their writing thinking genius to some subject, and then they'd dump the book on the market, and then it would become a big classic, like the guy who did the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, you know, back in George Washington's time. Forget his name. But the so, yes, I've been presenting. I didn't have to go anywhere. I just surveyed the information networks and found this beautiful Venice, which is all the holy offices. That's what you're talking about.
One thing I got from you is that, like, humans, the most important thing for humans is this interaction, this communication, not only with other humans, but with the environment.
Yeah, culture.
And with whatever we call it, energy, polarities, electricities, chemistry.
Yeah.
That every part of your physical body and all your other bodies are communicated, not only with words, but in many different ways. And out of this interaction comes out something.
Yeah, you realize that humans essentially are communication. That's their being.
Yeah.
And we get more and more things to communicate with. So you were saying something, Ion?
And somehow, this odyssey was about getting to the point of being able to talk to the non-physical.
Yeah.
Like, we just all created technologies, expanded, all created, expanded, more technologies, more expansion.
Which is what we see, we seem to understand, that's what's in Ion's, quote, head. We're looking at Ion's head with Finnegan's Wake. What is in their inventory of materials that they use.
Yes, and like, we were making a big summary, put it in all these media, and then the next media absorbs all this information.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you go, did you go to make
yes.
the sound of absorbing?
Yes. And Ion is absorbing the power. These humans don't want the power.
So what do you say, Jermaine?
Jermaine fell asleep. She went to sleep. She had a long day today.
Oh.
Never mind.
I did have one thing before. I'm in and out, falling asleep, but I know how Ion said that we're experiencing the no time. So that's
yeah.
what this reminds me of. So you know how
that's
we
right.
all relate to it and something happens and we're like, oh, that's happening right now, but it's really because we're in the no time zone.
Yeah, the endless distraction is not necessarily bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I thought of that too. What did I think of? I remember Ion saying that a few hours ago, and I thought of that while we were doing Finnegan's Wake, whatever it was that brought it up. Yep. We had
Hi,
ESP, Jermaine.
Yes.
Oh, Nadia. Nadia from her travels. She was up in the Arctic Ocean. She's up there studying the Eskimos. Nadia goes around the world. No, she doesn't. She just goes to a radio station. She's got a job.
Actually, I don't go to radio stations anymore. I think you're more right on. I go everywhere when I sleep and travel.
Yeah, yeah. So did you want to say something? This is about, this book is supposedly a guy dreaming. The history of humanity. That's what it's the simple version of the book.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting how dreams really make you travel.
Well, they are travel, according to Ion. That's what you're doing.
Right, Jermaine always talks about that, even like before you guys had this discussion, how Ion would say that you are actually traveling when you're dreaming.
That's actually what? Say it again. Actually what?
I said that Jermaine has always said that Ion says that you're traveling when you're dreaming, or when
yeah.
you're sleeping and dreaming, and it makes sense because there's been so many times where I wake up like so tired as if I didn't get no rest,
but right. I could talk about my dreams so vividly. And there's times where I can't remember one dream, but I slept amazing because I don't recall where
it didn't work.
Whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but it's always when you when I dream and I could like remember the dream where sometimes it happens where I don't even know if it was real or like real life or fake or not fake but like it was real or a dream I guess.
Yeah.
So that's when it gets tricky because I'm like, did I dream that or did I really live that? And that's usually when like I'll wake up and be exhausted because.
Well, I would say that you were living
sure.
it, buddy. Here's the thing to contemplate, Nadia. Ayn says, no human has ever slept. The idea you're sleeping in your physical, in your bed, is not what's happening. Imagine yourself slipping out of your body and going into other cityscapes. That's what you're doing
well,
when you're sleeping.
I've had those experiences where I've seen myself out of my body in my bed, so I quite understand that. The tricky part is, what I wonder is, like, what happens when I don't remember the dream or when I wake up and there's nothing that I feel like I've done? Because, you know, like, if you have a real dream and it feels vivid or, like, in real life, you'll remember and you'll tell, like, oh, my God, I had a weird dream, and you could explain it. You can even describe people's clothes and whatever you want, right, if you remember. But there's times
yeah.
where I don't remember anything and I just feel like I got a good sleep. But according to Ayn, you are still traveling. There's just some that you remember,
right.
don't remember, right?
Okay, so listen to this, Nadia. You could you could stop your wondering and do what?
Ask Ayn.
Right there. Ask him what you're going through.
When I don't remember what happens, or like when I feel like I got a good sleep and there's nothing.
Yeah, directed at Ayn.
But I think like what happens in that case.
No. We don't want to hear your opinion. You get enough opinions about yourself. Ask Ayn directly right now.
Oh, he's live?
Yeah, he's right there.
Oh, I thought I was just telling you a story. Hi, Ayn.